What happens when you take a 2,000-year-old spiritual text written by men, interpreted by men, and translated by men, and finally let a woman have her say? You get something revolutionary. For centuries, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras have been dissected through the masculine lens of control, discipline, and mental domination. Restrain the mind, control your thoughts, master your senses. But what if the path to enlightenment isn't about wrestling your consciousness into submission? What if it's about tenderness, opening, and remembering what you've always been? Throughout history, women have been cast as yentl, barred from the sacred texts, excluded from interpretation, relegated to the margins of spiritual life. Even today, many traditions separate the sexes in worship, as if the divine plays favorites. Yet, women have always possessed extraordinary intuitive gifts. They were seers, healers, mystics, until those very powers became reasons for persecution. The witch hunts weren't just about fear, they were about silencing a different way of knowing. Traditional translations of the Yoga Sutras reflect this masculine dominance. They emphasize control, restraint, and mental discipline. The language is harsh, commanding. But what if we approach these teachings differently? What if instead of controlling the mind, we spoke of steadying consciousness in the heart? This isn't mere semantics, it's a fundamental reorientation. The heart, not the head, becomes the seat of consciousness. Feelings aren't obstacles to overcome, but pathways to truth. This feminine lens doesn't diminish the teachings, it completes them. When masculine and feminine perspectives unite, we finally see the whole picture. The divine isn't just transcendent power, it's also immanent love. And that changes everything about how we practice, how we live, and who we become. For the millions of women who now fill yoga studios worldwide, this heart-centered approach finally offers a spiritual home that doesn't ask them to think like men to find the divine. Picture a pristine mountain lake on a windless morning. The water mirrors the peaks perfectly. Every ridge, every shadow, every detail reflected with crystalline clarity. This is your consciousness in its natural state, pure, still, capable of reflecting the divine with perfect accuracy. Now watch as wind disturbs the surface. The reflection fragments, distorts, becomes unrecognizable. These winds are your thoughts and emotions, constantly churning, creating patterns that become increasingly difficult to change. Yet, from this murky water emerges the lotus, blooming pristine on the surface. This is yoga's promise. You can be in the world without being stained by it. Your divine nature remains untouched, waiting to be remembered rather than achieved. Try this. Sit before a mirror in dim light. Gaze softly into your own eyes, looking past surface features and self-judgments. Somewhere in that gaze, you might glimpse something eternal, the divine light that animates you. Now whisper, "I am a divine being." Notice the resistance. That resistance is everything you've learned that contradicts this truth. As a newborn, you lived in this state naturally. Only gradually did conditioning obscure it. The more you remember your true self, the brighter your inner light shines. Your consciousness flows through five distinct streams, each shaping your reality. Knowledge arrives via direct experience, deduction, and wisdom teachings, though the deepest wisdom already lives within you. Misunderstanding causes profound suffering. Family feuds often stem from a single misunderstood conversation. Before cementing your interpretation as fact, pause, listen again, and forgive liberally. Imagination is your most powerful tool and most dangerous weapon. Worry weaponizes it against you, creating stress responses to non-existent threats. Yet imagination fuels every creative act. Einstein knew, imagination is more important than knowledge. Your daydreaming might be your most productive moment. Deep sleep offers blessed relief, a complete vacation from thoughts where your body repairs and mind releases. Without this rest, you cannot function lovingly in waking life. Memory shapes everything. You constantly choose which memories to keep accessible and which to bury. But buried memories don't disappear. They wait to ambush you when triggered. Pleasant memories can radiate peace even during storms. The key is regular mental housekeeping, consciously tending your inner garden. Like a bird needs two wings to fly, you need both practice and remembrance. Practice means devoted, heart-centered effort. Remembrance means continuously recognizing your divine nature. Without both, you remain grounded. True practice transcends mere repetition. A metronome keeps time, but it doesn't make music. Music requires heart. Your spiritual practice needs love to transform from mechanical routine into something that resonates deeply. Choose practices that nourish your whole being. Chant if devotional, study if intellectual, move if physical. But aim for balance. Don't let preferences create blind spots. Remembrance, often mistranslated as non-attachment, isn't about becoming cold or withdrawn. You're both divine and human. Spirit dances with nature, and the dance is joyous. Think of a diamond reflecting light without being colored by it. You can enjoy possessions without being possessed by them. You're a temporary caretaker, not an owner. This brings freedom. Delight when gifts arrive, momentary upset when they leave, but quick return to equilibrium. The eight facets of yoga aren't separate practices, but interconnected aspects of one integrated life. The physical practices, asana, pranayama, and pratyahara, align your body, breath, and energy, preparing you for the final three facets, focusing consciousness inward, continuous inward flow, and union with divine consciousness. These aren't things you do. They're states that emerge naturally when the groundwork has been laid. The most accessible path to the infinite isn't through rigorous discipline, but through boundless love. Bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion, unites you with divine consciousness by opening your heart. Your heart is like a flower bud, tightly closed against life's harshness. Through continuous devotion, it gradually unfolds into full bloom. Your relationship with the divine is utterly unique. Mother, father, friend, formless presence, whatever resonates. Through outward devotion, you discover the divine dwelling within. Sacred sound vibrations, mantras, transcend intellectual meaning, invoking celestial resonance that transports you to higher consciousness. The sacred sound Om awakens universal consciousness through its four components, A, U, M, and the silent vibration after, mirroring creation, preservation, destruction, and the infinite beyond. The real secret? Correct pronunciation matters less than devotion. An open heart transforms any sound into a gateway to the divine. When difficult relationships arise, mentally place flower garlands over the person's head. Secretly worship them as divine. This is Pratipakapsha Bhavana, cultivating an opposite, elevated attitude that transforms not just your reaction, but eventually the relationship itself. You can't force a rosebud to bloom by peeling its petals. Similarly, you can't force spiritual awakening. But you can create conditions where it naturally unfolds. Through practice and remembrance, devotion and wisdom, opening your heart and steadying your consciousness, you gradually realize what was always true. You are divine, you are loved, you are home. In a world obsessed with productivity hacks, the Yoga Sutras offer something radically different: the invocation to remember who you already are, not to achieve divinity, but to recognize it. Not to control your mind, but to steady your consciousness in the heart. The real secret isn't hidden in esoteric practices or advanced techniques. It's in the mirror exercise, the flower garlands, the Om chanted with devotion. It's in choosing kindness when cruelty would be easier, in remembering your divine nature when the world tells you you're small. Every moment offers the choice. Identify with the churning surface or rest in the still depths. React from old patterns or respond from divine wisdom. Close in protection or open in love. Your consciousness is already divine. Your heart already knows the way. The path isn't about becoming someone new. It's about unbecoming everything you're not. Strip away the conditioning, the misunderstandings, the accumulated habits. What remains is your divine self, pristine and perfect. This is the secret power of yoga, not control, but remembrance, not striving, but unfolding, not achieving divinity, but recognizing it was never absent. The shift from head to heart, from control to compassion, transforms everything. You don't have to wrestle consciousness into submission or master your senses through force. You simply open, remember, and allow your natural divinity to emerge, exactly as you've always been.